we're back.
Hey.
Welcome back to All of This is Temporary with your hosts.
And Melody Gates.
Cheers, baby. We made it through Christmas.
We did.
Great success.
We did. Some would say Christmas is still happening.
They would be wrong. This week's episode is brought to you by Red Blend and the Lip Smack already.
Already?
I already did one. Brought to you by...
Oh.
That's the sound it makes when I pull a ding-dong
so
out of my
mouth.
So
when you were telling me to watch the Lip Smack before we pressed record, you were really talking to yourself.
I was, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I have to remind, like I'm reminding myself, but I have to always tell you what to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like bullying other people so you don't have to bully yourself.
We have so much bullying to go over today.
That's the theme of today's podcast, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, actually, because I have a surprise for you and our listeners, and it actually falls under the theme of bullying as well, now that I think about it.
Oh, you have a surprise for me and the listeners?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
I mean, kind of a mini surprise. You know.
Well, two things. Thing number one, thank you so much to all of our listeners, Greg and Terrell.
And Rich.
And Rich. You're holding this thing together. All three. Let's just give them a little round of applause.
Hopefully they're listening to this one. If they're not, then that's okay. We'll never know, really.
Yeah
we know when they do listen, but we don't know when they don't listen.
Terrell called me out for talking shit about throwing a party for a one-year-old baby, which I stand by 100%. Mm-hmm. My judgment. I did try to say, are you sure that was what I was talking about? Because I did talk shit about also going to a different friend's birthday party.
Maybe throwing our friends under the bus on this podcast is a way we can like talk shit and speak our minds freely, and then they don't get offended because it's fun.
Yeah.
It's a podcast.
No, that's exactly right. This is the platform.
Did it take
to
me
do
a while
it.
To calculate that? Yeah. We're is that the whole plan?
I mean, it's not the whole plan of the podcast, but I do like the idea of having an under the bus segment where we just pick somebody and really just pretend like they're not here.
The under the bus segment. Now, do we choose who that person is that gets thrown under the bus each time, or like ahead of time, or is that just chosen organically how the pod unfolds?
Well, you know what? Actually, I have two things to say to that. First of all, you sound great. I'm not
Thanks.
Even kidding.
Really?
Yeah, you're right on top of
oh
it.
My gosh.
The sound signature looks like mine. It's like you're my partner at this and not just running away from the mic.
I'm blushing.
Isn't it easier when you get the mic close? Look, little inside baseball for all you baseball fans that don't know podcasting. If you get the mic close enough to your face, it actually disappears. And then you forget that it's there and you have this view of the room, little peripheral main view of the room, versus if you like back up a little bit, then it's sort of in your way, but it also sounds like shoot.
It becomes like an extension of your face when you're this close. And when you say eat the mic, you do literally quite mean put your lips on the mic, because my bottom lip is brushing the mic.
Yeah,
don't get jealous, baby.
No, if you were lucky like me, you'd have a little bit of facial hair, and then your facial hair would do it for
would
you.
Would be brushing it.
Just gives you a little...
But it's true. It also makes me, you know, I feel...
Ooh, this red wine. By the way, it is 1 p.m.
Yes.
And
Ray got this for Christmas from my father. See, Christmas happened this morning also.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Christmas is actually over now because
right.
we have opened all the presents.
We almost bullied. You know what? Let's start it off. We did bully your dad a little bit today. So her dad is he's strict, kind of, right? Like he... has like his way, not strict, but he just has his way that he likes to do things, and he needs it to be sort of planned and very structured,
mm-hmm.
and it's got to be by the rules.
Well, yes, all of that is very true. And on top, he's a very intense person that is really characterized by every person who's from New England.
Mm-hmm.
So he grew up in New Hampshire and Northern New York. Well, White Plains. I mean, that's not really New York. And every person from that area, I can meet someone on the street and know they're from New England because they have that same, you know, kind of, I don't know. Actually, I have a word that describes that. It's one of the words that I learned now that I'm connecting dots. It's very bombardier.
Bombardier.
That's how I would describe it, right?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Is that a person that bombards you? Myself. Like a bombardier, but a bombardier?
No, that's what I thought it meant. But actually, a bombardier is a member of a bomber crew in the U.S. Air Force.
A bombardier.
Bombardier.
That's how you say that.
Oh, it's not bombardier.
No.
It's I should look at the pronunciation. I was thinking about that as I was writing my new words. I should look at the pronunciation. But I knew you would call me out.
Well, so what's funny is I was about to call you out. And then I'm like, oh, she's saying bombardier. Maybe I don't know. I don't speak French. I mean, the last time I tried to say I knew what was up with a word and you were like, nope, that's not it. It means something else. And that's so this true. Time I was like, oh, a bombardier, like the guy who drops the bomb. The bombardier is the guy in the plane that drops the bombs.
Yeah. Bombardier.
So, bombardier.
Bombardier. I thought it meant someone who forges ahead with confidence.
No.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Here's the sentence that it was in. Eyes that were chilly, precise, unexpected marvels of calibration. Bombardier's eyes.
Bombardier.
Bombardier's eyes. Okay, bombardier.
But I didn't know there was there was another R. I thought it was just at the end. Bombardier. B-O-M-B-A-D-E-E-R. Bombardier is what I would have spelled
it's
that.
B-O-M-B-A-R-D-I-E-R.
Bombardier. Bombardier. Yeah. Hey, you want to be a bombardier?
Bombardier. I just shout out to Stephen King. I love his word choice. And I didn't know I was so good with context clues, but the words mean what they sound like and feel like in the way that he uses them.
Big up, Steve.
We love you.
Big ups.
Fans over here. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
Yeah. Also, so many other fans of him. Mm-hmm. We're not the only two.
No, I'm a new fan though.
Yeah.
So
I just read a book of his in one day and it went exactly where I thought it was going to go, which is nowhere. Okay. Spoiler alert. The book Elevation. What a bunch of bullshit. A guy's not losing mass, but is losing weight. And it doesn't stop. And in the book, you go, oh, he's going to float away. But towards the end of the book, it gets to a point where he's talking like he's on the moon because his muscles send him bouncing around the room. But that's not how gravity works. It was saying when he was 2.5 pounds that he was like floating off the ceiling. I don't know if you've ever thrown a 2.5 pound weight in the air, but it crashes down to the ground exactly as fast as a 90 pound weight. That's how gravity and acceleration works. It accelerates at the same speed no matter what the weight is. Oh no, wait. Yeah, that's right. 9.8 meters per second squared.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Everything falls at the same rate, is what they say. As long as it's not encumbered by like a feather is supposed to fall at the same rate as a penny, except the feather has wind resistance. Right. So that's the only difference. But if you could take away the wind resistance, they would fall at the same rate. I'm pretty sure that's right. We'll have to fact check that.
I mean, I remember there's an experiment in school where you like drop something and see what you have to predict what falls first. I think I lost concentration in the middle of that. Because I don't remember how it ended.
Well, the theory is to prove or disprove the 9.8 meters per second square is the acceleration equation for gravity on Earth. Mm. So everything is supposed to accelerate at the same speed towards the Earth, which is wild.
Unless you are the main character in Elevation.
Yeah, that's the problem. If you drop a 2 pound weight off of the top rail of the staircase, it's going to hit the ground very quickly and make a clattering noise. You're not going to have to worry about it accidentally bouncing back up to the ceiling. That was some bullshit, and it was really hard. But that's why it was also a, 90-page book that you finish in a day. And it was half pages, let's be fair. It was more like a 45-page book. Are you making a note about my furrowed eyebrows? Ray furrows his eyebrows a lot in this one.
you know, my mind was wandering and I realized I should mark off that we discussed
Bombaclot.
Bombardier.
Bombaclot.
Bombardier.
Oh, is that how you how spell you Bombaclot too?
I only read it as Bombardier now.
Bombardier.
Bombardier.
Yeah. Bomber. Yeah. Bombardier.
Bombardier.
Yeah, the Bombardier. Okay, well, let's get this show kicked off properly. I promised last week, unless I failed to make good on that promise, that I was going to have...
Always has an out.
That today was going to be another bomb with me section. So I dug out the very first recording. So this would have been about 6 or 7 sets in to my comedy open mics. So this is probably my 6th or 7th performance on stage. I really wish I had started purchasing them from the very beginning because it would be really cool to just see how bad it was for the very first ones versus like a few times in, even just for a few times in, you can see some progress.
You can see the full journey. But also, this was the first time I ever saw you do stand up.
Mm-hmm. And I brought some people, so I have a little extra time on this one.
I was probably more nervous than he was for this one because we just started dating like a month before that,
right?
1 or 2 months before. And for me, I was like, if I don't like his art, then...
Wait, were you also drenching your armpits?
I was so nervous. I was so nervous until you got up there and you started. And then I just had like a huge sigh of relief.
Little did you know how bad it was going to get on Juneteenth, which we'll get to.
Yeah, maybe but we'll I was already until Juneteenth I was for that. Trapped by then. And then, you know, at that point, I was sweating because it was so funny. You were bombing so hard.
Oh,
anyways.
And as a precursor to this one, so the game is you get 3 minutes for a regular sign up, but if you bring 3 people or more, you get 7. Now, I brought more than 3 people. I was ready with 7 minutes. And as I'm about to go up, he says, hey, everybody and their brother brought people today. Can you shorten yours to 5 minutes? And I was like, fuck. Because I have a plan. I go up with a plan. I had 7 minutes timed out. And I'm like,
rehearsed a ton.
How am I going to get this down to, is she trying to break the blinds?
She wants to look out of every window.
Before we get started,
have our first guest today.
Before we get started, do you want to kick her out of here?
Sure, baby.
All right, I'll just keep going here with a couple of quick stories, some notes that I've got from stuff that we never get to. I think it's important to mention that once upon a time when I was a child, we did have a microwave on the back deck that was there specifically for microwaving scorpions. I don't know why I think that's relevant or important, but you know, if you've never tried it, you should try it yourself because it's really fun. They puff up real big. It's totally animal friendly because they're scorpions, so nobody likes those. And then when you get them all puffed up, you shellac them real quick with some clear coat, and then they stay all puffed up. And then you sell them for 10 cents or whatever at the craft fair. So anyway, I just thought that was important to bring up and mention that.
Babe,
so
do you have a list of stories to tell to fill dead air?
No, but the stories that I think of that I'm like, you know, that one's not very good. Then I'll just fill the dead air. How did I do, by the way? That's a pretty good story.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell it better, but because I like that story a lot. I just
love the fun part of that story.
You're telling it really fast.
So. I did tell that story to the radio guys. And that was one of the stories that I sent in to John Holmberg, 98 KUPD.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite morning guys. And I'll email him sometimes. And he was talking about killing scorpions. Because he's like, I go outside and I kill scorpions like left and right. Because he's like, his house is on a den or some house was. So I go, oh, you're going to like this story. So I send him that. I said, when I was a kid, we had a microwave on the back deck that was specifically, it was the scorpion microwave. And what's wild about that is I distinctly remember that when you microwave a scorpion, it kind of smells like French toast. But here's how different people are. So I said that on the email to the radio show, and they read it out. And then on the last line, I think I said they smell like French toast when they cook. And they all go, oh my God, okay, Norman Bates, what's wrong with this guy? Like turning me into some kind of psycho serial killer. Which, I mean, you know, it's still early.
Cereal French toast.
Oh, cinnamon toast French crunch. So anyway, he liked that story enough that he read it out on the airwaves. Now, he has a 20 share, so 20% of the of Arizona or the Phoenix metropolitan area listens to his show, which is a lot of people. It's like 4.5 million people, 20% of that. So about 1 million people are listening to his show, or a little under 1 million people. And some of them took away that the scorpion, when you cook it in the microwave, smells like French toast. Well, that might be something you want to try in your home. Here's the thing that the rest of my family reminded me when I excitedly told them about this story being read on the airwaves, is that everyone else thought that that smelled horrible and was the most disgusting aroma that they've ever smelled in their lives. And somehow it translated to me as French toast, but they were like, it is not French toast. And then I was like, hell yeah. You know how many people are going to try that today? Thinking it's going to make their house smell like French toast, but it's just ass. It just smells like ass and, I don't know, mud. And I don't even know what type of villainy.
At least one person, at the bare minimum, at least one person tried it. At least. I would say five. The number five is coming to my mind. I think it was at least five people. Maybe. Out of all of those, 20 million?
There's got to be one.
Not 20 million.
There's got to be a couple that are just like, okay, that's not. If you're making French toast that way,
there are a lot of people like me who believe anything you tell them.
I think most people are not going to go get a scorpion, but they might just to try to shellac it, just to try to puff it up and shellac it.
How many of those people listen, or parents who listen to that morning show while they are driving their 9-year-old son to school, and that boy... Listen, here's that. Oh, you better believe he's throwing some scorpions in the microwave.
Hopefully, nobody's letting their 9-year-old boy listen to that show. Okay. I mean, actually, it's pretty clean, but...
It's a morning show.
It's gnarly. Right? It's not for kids.
I haven't... What's it called again?
The Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
Holmberg.
Yeah, John Holmberg. You tried. You didn't like it.
The morning show?
Yeah. You told me you don't like it. They were talking too much. He does go on about sports and stuff, but, you know, a lot of people like that.
Yeah, well, in my 20-minute commute in the morning, you know, I just want to get to the... Yeah. I'm very bombardier.
Bombarded.
Bombarder.
Did.
I'm a bombardier like that. I'm never going to say it right.
I don't think you ever will have the chance to use the word bombardier unless you're describing what... the pilots did in World War II. They don't even have bombardiers now because you don't do it by hand. You do it with a button. I guess you're probably still the bombardier. I guess it was still a button back then too, but you had to like hand crank a thing open and like push a button and
you have like a sight it in profile and... of the person who is a bombardier. I'm saying it right now? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bombardier?
Bombardier.
Yeah. There's a certain type of person and that's kind of what...
But I guess it's actually bombardier. That just sounds redneck.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We have a segment to listen to.
Okay, so turn your attention to the big TV in the corner of your screen, and let's see how this goes. Here we go.
Well, let's keep it going for Raymond Stone.
All right. Well, friends... Matthew Perry was found dead in a hot tub the other day. Oh. Did you know we all poop a little when we die? Do you think the jets were on in the hot tub? This means Friends superstar Matthew Perry was found face down in a swirling hot pool of his own dumpling soup. Did you know that Jews can have ketchup? I didn't. I thought they were only allowed to have all of the money, world control, and dominance over the media. Turns out they're allowed to have Heinz ketchup. That's what the circle with the U on the side of the package is, on the Heinz ketchup. You hear it? Try the red sauce, Jews. Not in my house, you're not.
Nine.
Nine, that's correct. Look, I don't always smell the stuff that I dig out from under my big toenail. But I'm always happy when I do. Even though I am aware it does smell like I just put my finger in my butt. And now that's something that my new girl just found out about me, along with all of you. That's right. I got a new girl. I found her on the internet. Yeah. There's hope. And, you know, I was telling a buddy of mine about her the other day. We were having beers at the back bar, the local spot we go to. And he likes to hear mostly my devastation stories of trying and failing on the internet, because that's a better story. And, you know, he's a 10-year married dad, so he's depressed. And he wants me to be depressed, too, so I think secretly he wants me to join the ranks, so he wants to hear the whole story, you know. So I give him the cliff notes, basically, you know, yada, yada, checks all the boxes, I'm happy, hoo-ha, you know. And he goes, yeah, but how about the sex? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And he goes like this, it is just so hard to have sex with kids. And I go, you want to try that again? And he goes, tell me everybody in here didn't hear me just say that. And I go, you hear how quiet it just got on the inside bar? Yeah, they heard you. Don't worry, I got your back. They're his kids, everybody. We're cool. Now, I've been thinking about a lot about these conflicts that are going on still today. It's like war again still. And you know, I keep thinking to myself, don't you think it might be nicer if maybe we treated each other like we treat each other's pets? You know what I mean? Like, you think I don't want a free biscuit? I don't want an unsolicited cookie? I want a fucking cookie. And I don't want to have to ask for it. There's a guy in my neighborhood that drives around. He has treats in his truck. He doesn't have a dog. But all the dogs in the neighborhood absolutely love this man. And I'm like, if we just did this for each other, like, maybe it would be okay. Like, let's try right now. How you doing? Nice to see you. Is this one yours? Hi, buddy. Hi, buddy. Is he a boy or a girl? Boy? Who's a handsome boy? You're such a handsome boy. He's such a handsome boy. Can I pet him? Is he friendly? He's friendly? Yeah, you want a belly rub? Who wants it? I'll scratch you behind the ear. He still has his balls. Your pee-pee's showing. Wasn't that fun? All right, guys, that's what I've got for you tonight. My name is Raymond Stone.
All right.
And that's the night I fell in love with you.
And we're back. That one wasn't bad.
That was so good.
That was what it took? That was when you fell in love?
That was the night. I was so pleased. So that morning I sent you a interesting facts article. And one of the things on that interesting facts was the Heinz label of things that are weird things that are kosher.
Yeah. I tried to
and
include it.
I was
it.
So surprised that you and pleased that you added that into your set.
Yeah. The circle with the U. I did forget to explain that stands for Orthodox Union, which is the thing that you sent, that circle with the U. Anytime you see that, it means it's kosher.
Yeah,
the circle
you skirted around it, but I already knew that before, so maybe.
But I didn't explain that to the crowd. I did remember at the end of that one. You know who's going under the bus on this one?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
There was one particular little Jew who didn't want me to tell that joke anymore.
She was not happy. And that was also, there are a lot of first things. That was the first time I saw you do comedy. That was the first time I saw a family
dispute.
Saw
me be mean. You saw me be rude and mean to my brother's girlfriend at the end of that set. So that was my best set yet, up to date at that. And I was really, really happy with it. In fact, watching it now, I'm like, that doesn't look like the sixth time on stage. I think that was actually
so good.
A fairly good set. Like, oh, the crowd was there. I had, you know, I think I had seven people. So I had seven laughs kind of in my corner. And looking back, like, that is so important when you have people in your crew and they're laughing because they're just being relieved that the tension is being cut because they feel nervous for you, like, yeah, you did. But there's one point where there's like a girl giggling, and it may be you, I can't tell, but there's one girl like squeak giggle laughing, and I'm like, yes, like how I got Sherry Joe, I got my stepdad's lady with a joke. One of his, anyway, with a joke at Christmas. And she, it was like, it just tickled her. And it was a little throwaway thing. But there was one laugh in that set where the girl is like giggle laughing, squeaking laughing. And I'm like, yes, that's, that's how you know you got someone. Like, you really reached them to where they're no longer, like, they're not trying to laugh. They're just laughing.
One thing, so I've watched like a ton of amateur comedy since I started dating you. And so I'm picking up on different things now that I didn't before, because I've seen this video a bunch of times and I was there. But one thing that stood out to me this time is you slowly started to gain the acceptance of the crowd. And I would say about midway to 75% through, they really loved you. And they're actually responding to your jokes. Even like in the beginning with the Heinz joke, one guy goes, nine.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then somebody else said something about, oh, you said, I want a cookie, but I don't want to ask for it. And one guy in the crowd goes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, yeah, and you had the whole crowd, and they really liked you. And that's hard.
It was fun. That was a really fun set. And like somehow in my later sets, I'm having a hard time because I'm rushing. But that one, I really felt like I got to take my time and work through the ideas. But I feel like today's sets, I'd be trying to push that same amount of material into 3 minutes, even though it's clearly 5 minutes worth of material.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that shows you how important it is to like let the silence exist. Mm-hmm. And I'll admit, some of that silence isn't on purpose. I'm just trying to cue up the next joke correctly. But if you say something kind of outlandish and then just let the room bake on that for a minute, it like can pick up a little bit of action on its own. It's really fun. I mean, I love doing the comedy. It makes me super nervous like every time. And
I also want to say this, and I think I've told you this before, the first time you did that, I love the imagery that you do with the Matthew Perry joke. It's such a perfect setup, because at that time it was recent events.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it was like the day after.
You really just needed a few words there, and that was the whole joke, because it just so clearly painted the picture in your mind. Like, first, Matthew Perry just died. Second, you know, we poop when we die. Third, do you think they had the jets on? Yeah. Like, that's all you need to say. And then that's the joke.
And nobody else in the whole comedy community, as far as all the jokes that I saw about Matthew Perry, nobody thought up the, do you think the jets were on? Because that means it was sucking poop in and shooting poop through the jets at you. It's a new kind of face mask.
Ew.
It's called a mud.
See, the reason why I like the joke is you don't say all of that,
yeah,
which is just gross and grosses me out. But just saying the few words and having the picture is just, it's nice. It's good.
No, I think that was pretty well crafted. I was very happy with that. I do want to throw myself under the bus for the way I started the podcast last week. I did that stupid, lame, gay ass thing that people do where they think it's real sneaky and tricky to be like, ah, we're starting the podcast. Ah, ha, ha, we've already started. It's been running. So I'm really sorry about that.
Everyone's retarded sometimes. It's okay.
It doesn't make me feel better, but I appreciate your response. Mm-hmm. I just appreciate you.
I appreciate you.
Saying words and smacking your lips together.
Mm. All right.
I'm up to 6 smacks, by the way. Oh, hey, by the way, I just want to say one way people can describe success. Success to me is when things go terribly wrong in the bathroom and you can just go right into the shower. That's like a little success.
It is. I think you've said that on the podcast before.
On the last one? Oh, let's cross that off then.
Yeah. I guess I'm... Or maybe I've just heard it a couple times now. And
I think I told you I was going to do it. I don't think it made it onto the last one. But if it did, okay, I'd like to repeat it. Because that is a real mark of success. Is when you're a bombardier and then a second later, you're a weatherman.
Yeah. I didn't have a moment of success today when we came back after breakfast. I had a little upset tummy and I went to the bathroom right here and I felt very unsuccessful because you and my dad were sitting on the other side of that door and my tummy was upset.
I'm sorry. I don't need to hear this.
One of my things I was going to talk about today is taboo topics you shouldn't bring up. wasn't on there.
Now that we're here, bring up something else that we shouldn't talk about.
I just have a habit of saying things that, you know, you probably shouldn't talk about in certain moments. Like,
is that it? Or do you have more examples?
I have 4 more.
Okay. All right. What are they?
So one of them, when I was talking to one of my tables, I was waiting on about the cloudy day and how it wasn't really clouds. It was chemtrails. Oh.
So
they had a look. They were like, what is she talking about? Yeah. The other one of, you know, I think it's hard to talk about how the moon landing isn't real.
Yeah, it is.
You can't. That's a taboo one.
I like that you now are married to it's not real. Like you just said it's hard to talk about how it's not real.
I've chosen a side. I have little to no evidence. I heard one podcast and I'm like, no,
I believe
everything I hear.
You heard it on the Candace Owens podcast.
She's my favorite.
And I thought of the best joke as a result of that. And that joke was, oh, so you're saying Candace Owens doesn't believe that we could land or did land on the moon. She doesn't believe that. And then I go, wait, mm-mm. Is Candace Owens religious?
Yeah. And she's very Catholic.
So she essentially believes in Santa Claus.
No, it's not that. She just believes if we did go to the moon, we would have more people going out and doing more now, 60 years later. It just doesn't add up. There's a lot of...
Way to really try to step on my joke.
Oh, sorry.
The joke is, but she does believe in religion, which is clearly clearly a made-up story. Clearly, obviously.
It's a metaphor, baby.
Oof. And you shouldn't believe in metaphors. You should believe what the metaphor is trying to say.
Exactly.
But you don't go to a church of metaphors.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Another one. Also from the Candace Owens podcast, Kamala isn't black. You shouldn't talk about that. That's a taboo one too, because I have trouble explaining that.
Yeah.
As well. I think I just need to get more, educated on some of these conspiracies. There's a book I need to read. I've been wanting to read. It's called Chaos.
And let's get into it. It
talks about these.
We started to have this discussion with some friends of yours at your family's Christmas. Mm-hmm. And the topic was, at what point do you become black? And the consensus, or one person's opinion, was that you have to be African American. And I was that's not what black is. Black is black no matter what continent you're on. Like in Australia, I stayed in Australia for a little while when I was younger. And there are racist people down there against the Aboriginals who are black. And they call them the blacks or blackies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but they're Aboriginals. They are indigenous peoples in Australia, mm-hmm. having nothing to do with. So if she was Aboriginal descent and she's here, would you argue that she's not black? Because all of the Australians would say, no, that's what a black person is. If you're in Australia, that's a black person, is somebody who's of Aboriginal descent. Mm-hmm. So her family's from Jamaica. Jamaica is full of black people. What? I don't understand why we're arguing that.
The sentence didn't make sense of, you know, oh, she's not even African American. She's Jamaican. But like, well, no, that what we're talking about is she actually black, but she's more Indian than she is black.
She, according to her records, though, her father is
There's no proof that he is her father. There's no proof that he is her father.
Except for the birth certificate and the photos from when she was a child.
No birth. There's no like traceable proof.
See, this is so conspiracy that I'm like, I don't care. I don't think it's important enough. I have no idea why anybody would lie about being of Jamaican descent. Like that's the dumbest thing to lie about.
Because they were trying to get more black votes.
She's clearly black. Look at her.
She looks Indian to me.
I don't know
how. There are Indians that are darker than she is.
I look at her and I see a half black woman. I don't understand why. I get that she has been claiming that she's Indian and then she switched gears and that's a problem. But if she's a quarter, a quarter, and a quarter, and a quarter, I don't really care. I just don't understand why we are trying to like argue about it.
I think the reason why so many people are up in arms because it's fun.
We're good at it.
I get so heated with this stuff. We have differing opinions on most things, I would say. We hold on to those opinions. Mm-hmm. But I think what people get so hung up about is she comes from this point of view of like, oh, I grew up black. I'm so close to the black. She makes up stories about cooking greens in her dirty ass bathtub that nobody does that. Is that going to be our first bleep? I said the A word. Is that allowed? Your face.
So I
think that's what people are getting up in arms about is like she's claiming this identity that she's never had her whole life just to get votes. And she has no business identifying with the black community when she's from this aristocratic Jamaican family who owned a bunch of land and stores.
Then that should be the argument.
That is the argument.
No, they're arguing that she's not black. That's the big mainstream argument. That's the part that I just go, what are you even talking about? She's clearly a black woman. Like, look at her neck. I'm sorry. You can't not see a black woman when you look at Kamala Harris. If you do, you haven't been paying attention to people on the planet.
I just want a hat, a big red MAGA hat that says, make Kamala Indian again. That's what I think that would be good.
MKIA? MKIA?
Well, it doesn't say MAGA, but MAGA, it's just that, you know.
Red and white.
Hat. Candace Owens was selling them, but she sold out.
She is a bit of a sellout.
She's not a sellout. She is the opposite of a sellout, actually.
And it said, make Kamala Indian again?
Yeah. Instead of make America great again.
Yeah, I get it. You don't have to explain it.
Well, you were doing some kind of calculation in your head.
I was going to ask. I was trying to come up with the
acronym
for it and see if it worked. But how many did they make, did she say? Like 20,000?
No, she didn't say.
If we make all of this as temporary hats and it says AO tits on it, do you think Terrell would buy one?
Yes.
For Gabby?
Yeah. For his baby. His 1-year-old and 2-month-old.
AO tits.
2-month-old baby. Are you ready for the surprise?
Yeah, were we done talking about the taboo topics? We're going to save one?
That was it. That was my 4.
Oh, you did
that I had.
Four.
Unless you have more to add to it. Wait. I have a 4th one. Okay. I only did the 3. The last one is, and this isn't really taboo anymore. It's more acceptable. It's kind of cool. But saying that you're a Trump supporter.
I guess that was taboo.
It was really taboo.
Yeah.
But now it's kind of cool.
I think it depends on where you were. Because in Arizona, it's been cool the whole time.
Not at ASU.
Well, that's a different. A university is not Arizona.
Mm. Yeah.
That's, you know, kids.
But like even in Phoenix, in Phoenix in general, everyone in like the yoga community.
I bet you most
all of my yoga friends,
most students are going to be liberals just because they're students.
Not anymore. That's tipped now. They're mostly Republican now, all because of a man named Charlie Kirk. Do you know him?
I don't.
He actually lives here in Scottsdale, and he spent a lot of time at ASU, but he spent a lot of time going around universities in the U.S. in the free speech area and having open debates with students about social issues and politics. And, you know, he would give his viewpoint and they would come up to the mic and give their viewpoint. And it was just a debate, and he tears every single one.
I knew
down.
It. I was going to say he's bullying because he comes
such a bully.
Prepared. But just did to me, where you asked me, oh, do you know this guy? And then I was like, no, I don't. And then you're like, well, I'm about to bully you.
But it is actually fair, because a lot of them do say that, like, oh, you're just bullying us. You're older. You're coming up here. We're just students. But he doesn't have a college education. He's self-educated.
Yeah.
And he says, go grab all the professors you want and have them come debate me.
Oh.
Or you can come up to the mic with all of your facts. You can be ready to come up here, but none of them are. They don't have any ground to stand on because they're coming from a place of emotion.
Also, they didn't know they were going to that assembly that day, but he did.
It's not an assembly.
They didn't know what was in store, but he did. And he's like, all right. That'd be like studying trigonometry and get really, really good at it. And then you go to an English lit class and you're like, all right, who can explain me why this? And they're like, what? We don't do that. And he's like, stupid. That's right. Maybe you should. And they're like, I don't know. Read Thomas I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, that's
those
cool.
Those are my four taboo topics you shouldn't bring up in public, but I always do.
Okay. I have another one. This might be a taboo topic.
Oh, yeah.
It is how I want to start my next comedy set. The next time I get up on stage, I think I want to start by saying, and I'd like you all to say this with me. Everyone listening, say it. In fact, I want you to say it with me.
Okay, so I have to know what it is first.
New.
New.
Clear.
Clear.
New.
Clear.
Nuclear.
I know what you're doing.
It's fucking nuclear.
Nuclear.
If I hear
nuclear
one more physicist, education expert, scientist, anyone say, a politician, public figure, nuclear. I'm so fucking sick of hearing smart people
nuclear.
Say the word nuclear when they're talking.
That's way off. That's way wrong.
It happens so much. I was listening to Rogan's podcast, and he's got a guy on there, and they're talking about nuclear energy and nuclear, looking for the potentially, they're saying that, you know, talking about how the drones over Jersey, Joe, or Jay Oakerson.
Did he make it
rewrote the song?
Drones over Jersey. Love it.
That show is very funny, The Bonfire. Anyway, they were talking about what the drones could be looking for. And he's talking about how in the 80s, a bunch of nukes were recovered in the denuclearization of the countries. And then like 80 something nukes went missing. And to this day, we don't know where they are. So what he was saying is that it could be technology where they're looking for signatures, not like a petition, but for like radio frequency signatures of radioactive materials. Basically
they
trying to
signatures for more people who are going to buy into this BS.
But he kept, and he's an expert, and he's an ex FA-18 pilot who dealt closely with nuclear ships and weaponry and energy, and he kept saying nuclear, and he was in the military. There's a little piece of me dies every time I hear it, and it just, I'm like, what is so, why is this so hard? Why do we insist on, this is potentially one of the most important words in our vocabulary. It has the potential of creating virtually endless energy. It also has the potential of killing on a mass scale. And we won't say the fucking word right. What are you writing?
It's so funny when you get angry about stuff behind the mic, because I The only thing I can really see are your eyebrows. So
and my eyes get all huge and buggy.
So my surprise this week is because I'm training the bot.
Surprise, you're moving out.
To be. And that's a good time. Now or never. No, so I'm training the bot, as a reminder. I'm training the bot to write jokes. I don't have any jokes this week. I have stuff to like plug in, but I haven't done it yet. But what I asked the bot to do, I said, I want you to write. I gave the bot the link to our YouTube channel. And I said, I want you to screen all of the episodes we have published so far and write a summary, like a profile about Ray and Melody.
Oh, wow.
So, and okay.
Oh, no.
And
let's see how close it gets.
It took several rounds. I had to keep telling it to be meaner. It was being so mean to you and yes. So nice to me. Of and course. I don't know why.
Why didn't you leave it like that?
So I kept telling it to be meaner and meaner. And I have the final version. If I can pull out my computer if you want me
you
to read the other ones.
You didn't tell it to just be meaner to you, right?
Well, because I kept telling it to be meaner and meaner in general. Mm-hmm. And it was still like, it wasn't poking enough fun at me. It was just poking fun at you.
Yes.
So now it's doing a little bit of both, but it's still more poking fun at you.
And then I want to hear some of the earlier shit, because that's what it really thinks before you changed its mind.
Yeah, because I told it to like be mean and be funny and don't hold back.
Okay.
So here's the final version. Good.
Here's a review from YouTube. Not a reviewer on YouTube reviewing at YouTube, but the AI.
It's the AI, yeah.
All right.
Okay. Ray Stone and Melody Gates host All of This is Temporary, a podcast that feels like listening to two people who mistake their inside jokes for quality content. Ray's a quote-unquote comedian who acts like every bomb he drops is a gift to humanity. Well, while Melody is the reluctant co-pilot who's mostly there to roll her eyes and keep the show from spontaneously combusting. Ray's overconfidence is matched only by Melody's ability to contribute just enough to remind you she's still there.
Did they take that last statement that I wrote and put that in there?
I wonder, because I told it to start.
We're still wondering what she's going to bring.
Together, they deliver a podcast that somehow manages to be both chaotic and completely forgettable.
You know what I think? I think I've just figured out what our new bio is going to be. Well, that's it.
That one? Do you want to hear the earlier version?
I think we're just going to use that as the bio. Yeah. Is it better?
I'll read you the first one.
Okay. Yeah, bring it up.
That might be good.
While you're looking for that, did you already find it?
It's right here.
Okay, yeah, go. Yeah. Dang. Brought to you by Macintosh Computers, apparently. Don't let them see that.
Oh, my gosh.
Can you believe that
They're
Mac?
They're going to take all of our proceeds.
Also, our newest sponsor. Yeah, Mac. Apple. Wow.
All right, so this is what I told it. I said, I'm going to give you a YouTube channel for a podcast called All This is Temporary. I want you to start to use the voice of the show and the jokes that you write. Based on the episodes that have been published so far, tell me what you know about hosts Ray Stone and Melody Gates. And then here's the YouTube channel. And here's what it said. It's a little bit longer. Ray Stone and Melody Gates co-host the comedy podcast All of This is Temporary, where they humorously discuss a wide range of topics. The show began in November 2024 and has released several episodes to date. Ray Stone is a stand-up comedian who shares his experience from open mic performances. In episode 3, they introduce Bomb With Me segment, where Ray reviews his recent stand-up comedy sets. Melody is known for her charming and lovely demeanor on the podcast. In episode 2, Ray divulges information about his past while Melody continues to be charming and as lovely as ever. So they're just taking
That's
friendly descriptions.
From, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Together, they create a dynamic and entertaining duo, bringing humor and candid conversations to their audiences. Wasn't that great? So then I told it
Actually, that's like a really good write-up. That would be like, if I was trying to write something up for the show's bio, I would be like, yeah, that's actually not bad.
But then I said, okay, that's good. Now do another version that is slightly meaner and poking fun at Ray and Melody, but make it funny. And so it says, Ray and Melody host All of This is Temporary, a podcast that feels like eavesdropping on two friends who aren't entirely sure why they started recording in the first place. Ray is a stand-up comedian, or as he calls it, a guy who bombed so hard he made it a segment. Melody is the charming counterbalance who somehow keeps the whole thing from imploding into a comedy black hole. The show features Ray overanalyzing his jokes like a high schooler dissecting poetry, while Melody plays the role of therapist who didn't ask for this. Their chemistry works, though, probably because Melody's vibe is 90% supportive friend and 10% Ray, why are we doing this again? Meanwhile, Ray's vibe is 100%. I wrote this bit on a napkin 5 minutes ago. Let's see how it plays. Together, they deliver a mix of unfiltered banter and comedic chaos that makes you think, wow, this is temporary. Could it be a little shorter? Yeah, and then there's okay. a couple more, but that I liked the last one I read because it was shorter. It was mean to both of us, yeah. but meaner to you, which is how it should be.
Yeah, under the bus.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do the under the bus segment where we tell ChatGPT, like, we divulge secrets that some of our friends would probably rather not we talk about, but we tell it to ChatGPT, and then we have ChatGPT come up with a review for that friend.
I fucking love that because I had some things on here. One thing that I wanted to mention on the podcast, but I was like, I can't say that. But I think that would be good to put into ChatGPT.
Mm. Oh, you don't okay. like my joke? Well, don't come to the show. Yeah.
I love how you can tell the bot to be mean, and it's like, it really does a good job. I yeah. mean, it didn't really take anything that I said to it. It was just taking the content and
cutting. And you know what's mm-hmm. funny? That is the only review I will ever read. So don't bother.
Unless it comes from our bot. That we train.
Yeah, I want it to be the smartest and truest review. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to hear, I'm never going to check. We're just going to keep posting mm-hmm. these. I mean, if we get to a point where like somebody's taking money because they're like reporting us, then. But I mean, come on.
That's not why we're doing this. But the reason why I had to do that profile, like as you might have caught in the first prompt I gave it, is because I wanted to start writing the jokes through our voice. Mm. So it's going to be kind of like our personalities writing cool. the joke.
Well, that's pretty good.
So
I do have a new bullying topic. Yes. We got a new bullying segment. I was bullied, and then I bullied back last weekend.
You were bullied?
Well, yeah. When your 71-year-old stepfather says, okay, we're driving to Globe in separate vehicles.
He bullies you so much, and you take it.
You don't. Like, I should have just gone ahead, but he wanted me to follow him, you know, because that's how old people do it. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, you follow me. It's like, what? They're not going to pull you over. The license plate's on there just because it's not your vehicle. It's your sister's. You're returning it. Yeah, but
you're going there together.
He drove consistently 10 miles under the speed limit. He stalled the vehicle twice when leaving because it's a manual. And he's a manual clutch driver. But he stalled it once leaving town. Then he stalled it the second time, turning right at a completely dead three-way stop where it's really only a two-way stop. And the only thing to do there is do a right turn. But he fucked up. And so with no traffic coming, I almost rear-ended him because I was looking left and turning right. Meanwhile, he had coasted out into the intersection, was working on getting the car started again. Then he's on the freeway doing 55 and a 65, unless we crest a hill and start going downhill, at which time he slows down more. Oh my God. And then he did admit, because he was like drifting back and forth in the lane, and he was like, man, I was trying to keep myself awake there.
And that's why he was swerving.
Probably why he was. And I was like, is this guy on the phone? What's he doing? Like, if I was behind him in traffic and didn't know him, I would have been pulling my hair out, screaming, let's go, lady, because mm-hmm. he was totally in a chick's car. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, but it's my stepdad. So I'm like, got to take my time. So here's what I did. On the way back, I drove a little faster than he's comfortable with him in the passenger seat. And that. I was an active decision. I was like, you bully me?
I did not know that.
I know, I saved it.
Because you don't speed. I've only seen you go fast once, and it was when we were trying to make the Home Depot tool rental place before closing.
I always do like the 10 over, 8 to 10 over, but that's not even really speeding. But going down the long incline between whatever it is on the Beeline Highway, you know, there's some winds, some twists on there that are like, you know, if you're going fast in a big truck, I saw him like grip the handle of the door a couple times.
Really? And I was like, you're like, yeah, that's what you get. It's like, here's the thing though. I knew by the second phone call, because you called me a few times on that ride to Globe, which is only like an hour and a half drive.
You're not the only person I called.
Really?
I called Philip too.
Yeah, he's probably a better person to call. But I knew by the second phone call that something was up because something our listeners probably don't know is we're not the kind of couple that talks on the phone all day when we're not together, and we don't like text all day. If we're not together, we usually just like wait until we see each other, and then we have a good time hanging out and catching up what happened throughout the day. I love that.
Quiet, and then we just save it all for this. This is when we talk.
Yeah, we never talk except for here.
Once a week for 1 hour.
So when you called me the first time, I was surprised because you don't usually do that. And then when you told me he's driving slow, I was like, oh, ha, 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 ha. And then 10 minutes later, you called me again to say the same thing. By the third time, I was like, ah, yes, babe, what's up?
It was to the point where I needed to talk to someone.
You had to get it out.
I needed to tell.
So you were just calling, taking turns calling like me, Phil.
If you didn't answer,
Phil.
I called Phil.
Yeah, because I didn't answer sometimes
yet. I was like,
yet.
fuck.
Phil was like, yep.
Actually, at one point, Phil goes, dude, is it getting to the point where we have to have a conversation with him? I go, no, he's being safe. He's just, don't follow him. Like, if
10
you...
miles or more below the speed limit is not safe. That's like the opposite of me driving.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, going 15 miles over is not safe, and going 15 miles under is not safe.
It's not illegal when there's no minimum.
It is illegal because I remember this from driving school. Oof. The law is you have to go within 10 miles per hour, mm-hmm. either above or below the speed limit. And that's why, like,
he was close.
You can turn turns during the, like, on the speed. You can go 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, and then you're taking turns, and there's no problem. But if you go, like, 15, then you're, like, you have to slow down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So if you go too slow, that's also just as dangerous because people are expecting you to go around the speed limit. I will die
turn
on
turns,
that throne.
Turn turns and taking turns. You mean making turns.
You can take a turn. I'm taking this turn.
No. When you take turns, like I go and then you go, that's taking turns.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding.
But yeah.
Okay, take turns.
All right. No, you're right. It's making turns.
So that was, and also I totally got called out. Shout out Terrell Treat. Who listens,
called
me out for bullying yesterday as our other buddy Dustin came over and I was showing them the house. Dustin lived here before it got remodeled. So he had announced moments before that he does need to go. He has to go pay his electrician guy because he's building a house. And I go, do you want to take a look real quick first and walk through? I go, but you don't have time. You're going. And he's like, no, I do want to see. So we walk in and we're all buddies. So it's really easy to just keep talking and then, and like, he's going to respond and it's clever and it's fun and we're just kind of homies. And as he's walking back to his truck, I kept talking and then he kept talking and he was slowly backing away towards the truck. And Terrell's like, who's the bully now?
You're totally bullying him. He's trying to go. See, that's a true fan. They take away the content and incorporate it into their lives. So,
well, it was pretty awesome.
Shout out to the treats. We love the treats.
I was really stoked. And Terrell, if you're listening to this, I just think you're a lovely man.
You're just okay.
And you've got a beautiful beard and rosy red cheeks. And then sometime in the future, you're going to make such a good Santa.
That's very true.
Yeah.
He's totally going to dress up for Santa, as mm-hmm. Santa for his kids.
Ooh, speaking of dressing up and Santa as kids, also one of the funniest things that happened to me this week, which is going to become a joke, is when we were visiting you at the pub and we ran into some friends and their kids. And their kids love me. And they are like 5 and 7. And the little girl hugs me in the lap when I'm sitting on a stool. And it's, that's exactly right. And my hands go out to their sides, never touched the kid. But I think it's like, you know, it's such an amazing thing when the universe gives you a real, it's a little boost when a kid likes you, because the kids are innocent. And so if they like you, it's like, all right, I'm winning. I'm okay. Everything's going to be okay. But they're not allowed to hug you in public. And I can't wait to tell that joke on stage next. And we'll see if I got signed up. In fact, let's see if I got signed up. Oh, no, I can't check the phone until I'm done recording.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess you won't know this week.
Gotta stay tuned.
You won't know at all. I don't know how to do that. But maybe there will be a fresh set for next week. But until then, that wraps it up for this. Our first year is in the books at a whopping 6 episodes deep. Proud of you.
Proud of us.
Proud of you. Proud of me.
Could have done it without you.
We're doing this. So cheers. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody. And we love you. And don't forget to check us out on YouTube. Like, review, subscribe.
Babe, you do this so many times. You cheers and then you don't take a drink. I've been needing to call you out on it.
Babe, look, this is all of this is temporary. Okay.
It's important. I mean, sex, you know, important. It affects me too.
Oh, I thought you said, I mean, sex. And I was like, what?
What's it is the, what I said.
Okay. It is. Well, you heard it. Sex, people. We love you. Bye. Hey, I'm going to jump in there real quick and say, if you are listening to this and you do want to see me do stand-up live, I did get signed up for this upcoming week, the open mic at Stir Crazy Comedy Club. You can buy your tickets online at www.stircrazy.com, and it's $5 or $6. There's a dinner special. You can get like a burger and a beer for $12 or something. It's super cheap, but I highly recommend you don't waste your time if you have anything better to do, because you're going to sit through a lot of bad comedy just to watch me do 3 minutes. So, check it out.